Happy Friday. Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time to book that next trip to a Disney destination, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or even Adventures by Disney, drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the specials that are going on. There's lots of ways to save money on your upcoming vacation, but also you'll see the specials that you're going to get as a client of the Magic for Less. A lot of times you can get little goodies like travel laundry bags, free subscriptions, thetouringplans.com, even gifts from the Disney florist with select packages. So check that out. And while you're over there, fill out a free, no obligation quote and see if that next Disney vacation isn't sooner than you were expecting. Also, let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Again, a lot of great time to travel down to Walt Disney World this spring and summer as there are specials out there right now. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 978 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully you had a great week. It's kind of a boring February weekend. You know, no Valentine's Day, no Super Bowl.
My weekend is not boring.
Well, maybe yours is.
I don't know about you.
I haven't introduced you yet. I don't know what you're buying this weekend. You know,
figure that out. I'll get back to it.
Let me finish my thought.
Sorry.
Joining us today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, you didn't know who was going to be on the show today with us. It's Ricky. Ricky must have a killer weekend planned. What's going on, Ricky?
I am always on the show. And I, sir, am going to Brian's work event called The Grandies. And it will be tonight. And I am looking forward to eating hotel banquet food and watching as Brian performs in a terrible skit, which supposedly involves rapping.
Yes, you need to videotape that.
I said Brian and rapping, and those two words are not connected.
Not like wrapping paper.
No, I mean like rapping, rapping.
And let me remind all of our listeners that Brian is from Missouri and he's kind of a country boy too, as I recall. You know, he's
a little bit. Yeah. They're playing like "Let's Make a Date" or whatever, and he has to rap, and I'm terribly scared. I don't really know what's going on, but I think I should be rightfully scared. I'm just saying.
So you are going to be on Snapchat by this day, and we'll have some snaps, right? Because that's what Snapchat's made for.
I should totally stream the video of this thing and on Facebook, though. I don't know if I have, but it's going to be terrible.
That's what this is made for. Yeah, Facebook's made for stuff like this. And Snapchat, you need to get on Snapchat. I'm telling you, it's fun.
I'm too old for Snapchat.
No, you're not. I'm on it.
I don't even know how it works.
You're too old for it.
No, I'm not. It's awesome. Mark Rich is doing it.
Doesn't mean you should.
Exactly. I'm too old for this. And
again, add me on Snapchat, Be Our Guest Mike. It's fun. It's awesome.
He's so...
You can like make like fire come out of your ears and stuff on your videos.
I'm not artistic.
It's awesome.
I can't draw stuff.
You don't have to. You just open your mouth. It says open your mouth and like fire shoots out of it. It's crazy. Oh, anyway, goodness. Let's get back to Disney. And joining us also, she's the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, what is your Snapchat name?
No, it's no.
That's her name.
That's what it is. No, but so I have an exciting weekend planned too.
Good, I have to say. It's just Mike who's the loser.
That's it.
It's
I'm fine. Just sitting at home doing nothing.
It is. So we are for the weekend going to, drum roll please, because this may be my least exciting weekend ever to even mention. I'm a little embarrassed to mention it. But we will be visiting the beautiful Cleveland, Ohio. We're doing the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and we're doing the Museum of Art. So, anyways, we are doing something. Well, I don't know. Okay, good. All right.
It may be boring, but it's not.
We're going to visit like one of Michael Simon's restaurants, and we have a few things planned. So, anyways, that's our weekend, and I have a little update to one of our past podcasts, Mike. I know you like when we get these updates.
Hang on. Breaking news.
Yes. And it's not about Cleveland.
Good.
Oh, good. Because it rocks, you know, because Cleveland rocks.
Or Johnny Manziel. Go ahead.
Right. So Steve was listening to one of our podcasts. And
what?
He wanted me to give you an update, Ricky, on when we were talking about Uber. You had mentioned how would the resort know that it's an Uber driver?
Yes.
To go and pick someone up. Steve said there's a big U that's actually on the front of every Uber vehicle. So,
okay.
Yes, the resort in the window. It's like a sticker. So they would know. So
they would have a clue. Yeah.
They would. Yes, right. I think they might be familiar with this. So anyways, if Disney wanted to say no Uber, I think they could. So
I think at that point, yeah, they'd have a general idea that, hey, that's an Uber. Maybe we should say no to that. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm glad you listened to the podcast.
He does. He has suggestions every week, so I won't share them all.
Oh, those are probably not good.
Well, you know, tell Steve that Cleveland sounds like a great opportunity for lots of snaps this weekend, so Snapchat it up.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know the last time, first of all, that Steve signed in his Facebook, let alone his Twitter, let alone for me to even mention Snapchat, but... I'll mention it to him. I want Hannah to be in the room so I can see her face when I suggest that too.
I do want to say when I joined Snapchat, because there was a episode of This Week in Tech where they were talking, or iOS Today, one of those shows, but they're explaining how, you know, normal people can use Snapchat, you know, not just the kids, and how you can use it to, you know, grow your social media, stuff like that. But when Paige accepted me as a friend on Snapchat, I was at school. I almost fell over. I'm like, no way. It's pretty cool. Anyway, let's get to today's topic. Today, we're going to talk about the Disney Institute. And this is something that obviously is in the, you know, the Walt Disney World vault. It's not there anymore. And but it's one of those things I did not get to experience, but I've kind of wondered about it over the years. Like, you know, was this a missed opportunity for me? Because I didn't, you know, I wasn't at the right age. I wasn't at the right stage of life. But I'm wondering if, you know, this was something that Eisner proposed and had developed, you know, kind of during the Disney decade. And it was a different way to think about a Walt Disney World vacation. But I wonder if, like, maybe the timing was wrong on it. So what we're going to do is kind of discuss it. Like, would it work now? Who would it work for? Would it not work today? But I'm going to kind of start off by going to Wikipedia and just giving a little background here. But it's like four paragraphs on the Disney Institute, so that if you don't have any background knowledge on this, you'll have a little bit of an idea of what it was, where it was, and so forth. And then we'll kind of get into the discussion. So on Wikipedia, again, it says Disney Institute is the professional development and external training arm of the Walt Disney Company. The company showcases the business behind the magic through seminars, workshops, and presentations, as well as programs for professionals from many different industries, including healthcare, aerospace, aviation, government, military, food and beverage, and retail. The Disney Institute was formerly a resort and learning center that opened in February of 1996 by Michael Eisner. The resort, which was partially based on the Chautauqua Institution in New York, was envisioned as a new direction in vacationing, one that was more about hands-on learning, professional development, and interactivity rather than the more passive entertainment-based experience traditionally offered in Disney's theme parks. The Institute's original curriculum was pared down over the years due to lackluster attendance. Its main public campus closed in 2003 to become Disney's Saratoga Springs Resort and Spa. The program included accommodations and some meals starting at $3,700. At the time of the resort's closing, Disney Institute instructors compiled their customer service courses into a book titled Be Our Guest, Perfecting the Art of Customer Service. See, I didn't know that. I see that book all over the the resort, but I didn't know that was kind of a collection of the curriculum from Disney Institute.
I didn't either. That's interesting.
Cool. Disney Institute is different from Disney University, which is the internal cast member training division of the company. And here's the history. As a residential community, the site of the original Disney Institution can be traced back to June of 1973 when Disney announced plans for a master-planned residential community of Lake Buena Vista. The community was to be divided into four themed areas: golf, tennis, boating, and western. By May of 1974, a total of 133 townhomes had been built, and an adjacent shopping center, the Lake Buena Vista Shopping Village, was being constructed. The developer, Lake Buena Vista Communities, was planning to build single-family homes, apartments, and condos in the near future. In July of 74, a construction contract was awarded for a retirement community, vacation townhomes, and apartments. The shopping village opened in March of 75, and 60 treehouse villas were completed that October. The residences were nicknamed villas and were designed to showcase energy-efficient housing ideas. They were built clustered around courtyards and cul-de-sacs to conserve space and green areas. And as a resort, because the residents would have the ability to vote on resort construction and due to taxation issues, Disney decided to abandon the residential aspect of the project and focus more on hotel accommodations. In the 1980s, the villas were transformed into a hotel resort, starting with the construction of the Walt Disney World Conference Center. The resort opened as the Village Resort in 1985. The name was changed to the Disney Village Resort in 1989. The Lake Buena Vista Village Shopping Center changed its focus towards Walt Disney World visitors, thus being renamed Walt Disney World Village, which was later absorbed into the present-day Disney Springs, formerly known as Downtown Disney, and named the Marketplace. The villas were divided into several sections. You had the vacation villas, which are 1 and 2 bedroom dwellings. You had the fairway villas, townhomes that overlooked the Lake Buena Vista golf course. They featured energy-efficient features, such as their roof overhangs and double-glazed windows. The treehouse villas, these were 3-bedroom octagonal villas on top of a 10-foot-high pedestals to withstand flooding and allow for natural drainage. You had the Club Lake villas, added in the later building phase and were meant to appeal to conventioneers attending meetings at Walt Disney World Conference Center, and the Grand Villa Vista Suites. They were 4 single-family dwellings originally constructed as model homes for the residential development. All right, let's get into the Institute itself here. In 1996, the villas became part of the Disney Institute. The vacation villas became known as the townhomes, and the Club Lake Villas Club Suites became known as bungalows at this time. The conference center, as well as other common buildings, were renovated and absorbed into the Institute. Institute buildings included 28 program studios, a 225-seat performance center, a 1,150-seat outdoor amphitheater, a 400-seat cinema, a closed-circuit TV station, which was called DITV, a radio station, call sign WALT, and a sports and fitness center with a full-service spa. The resort had a restaurant called Seasons and was featured, and it featured a themed dinner menu that rotated nightly. Guests had to choose to participate in an array of over 80 programs under the following categories. You had animation, culinary, gardening, the great outdoors, photography, television, and youth. In the year 2000, Disney changed the focus of the Institute from a family-oriented program to a multi-day seminar for business professionals to learn the secrets behind Disney's customer service and business culture. However, this concept didn't last, and the resort was closed down in 2003 to make way for the Disney Vacation Club Resort, Disney's Saratoga Springs Resort and Spa. Most of the villas were torn down except for the treehouse villas, which were renovated and reopened. The former Institute program, studios, and spa building were renovated as the clubhouse of the Saratoga Springs Resort. All right, so that's kind of long there, but it gives us a little bit of background on the Institute. So, Pam, I think you're the only one. Did you ever have any experience with anything at Disney Institute?
So, yeah, I did. And also, the Disney Institute still does exist, just not in the format that it is right now. I've had the pleasure of taking a number of their courses at different times, different conferences that I've been at. They spoke to us at our AAP and stuff like that. So they have some great, great learning opportunities, I think, for businesses to still engage in. And I, you know, everything that they do has really been top notch in my experience. But the resort as it existed before was really and truly dated. Those buildings, you know, right before they pulled them down, when it talks about the overhang and how that's of energy saving design, it's also of a very dated design. And you can all picture, you know, those houses that have the roof with that overhang there. It just looked so retro in a lot of ways. What was funny is they kind of zhuzhed them up like right before they ended up knocking the whole thing down. So I thought that was interesting. They at least updated the inside, but it was an interesting concept for sure.
So let me ask you this. Okay, so this was, you know, like you said, you can go down there and they still do this. And actually, let me just mention this. They have a Twitter chat. I believe it's on Fridays. What is the Twitter handle? Ricky, I know you're really into the social media, but it might be actually Disney Institute.
I think it is Disney Institute.
They're
yeah.
really motivational. They don't give a lot of tweets, but they give a lot of just like, you know, Twitter's 140 characters, but kind of give just great customer service ideas for anybody who's like an entrepreneur or a business person to kind of think differently about your customer service, you know, mindset, because that's what Disney's all about. They're there to exceed the customers, the guest expectations. And I think, you know, again, everybody can learn a lot from the way Disney as a whole. Now, of course, there are some bad eggs every once in a while, you know, when you get 60,000 employees on one site, it happens. But as an overall company, they are very focused and they want to have a consistent guest experience that's always positive. And they just, you know, through traditions and other things like that, which we can debate that that's been cut back over the years. But I think they do a good job of being aware of how to manage their brand and how to manage the guest expectation and to exceed the guest expectation on many, many accounts. So, Ricky, I know that, again, like you said, you know, you're really connected with the social media. That's what you do. What do you think about this? You know, because this was a resort where you went to learn. And I even asked my wife about this at dinner a couple nights ago and said, you know, we go to Walt Disney World to ride rides, to see shows, to have great meals, to kind of chill at the pool and see a lot of friends. Would you go to Walt Disney World to learn about something? It, you know, because that's what you did. You stayed there and it was almost like I'm wearing a Space Camp hoodie tonight. I didn't even think about this, but because I put it on just because I was cold, but it's almost like the Space Camp experience at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it has a good idea behind it. I don't know that people would automatically think of going on their Walt Disney World vacation and doing something like this. I could actually, and I'm not sure, I didn't follow the Disney Institute on Twitter until you mentioned it, and now I am. I don't know if this is something that they do, but I could really see them going around and doing like little conferences for different businesses. I could really see them doing that as more of an option nowadays. Instead of like you go down there on vacation and, you know, do this. I could see it if they did something like that, if they had an actual building where they did something like that, though, I could totally see companies sending their, you know, their employees to something like this. But I don't know if I see it as something of a, hey, you're going on vacation. This is something that you should do for a vacation idea. And I think that may be what hurt it. But I definitely think it has some positive ideas behind it and could really work out for companies who are looking to educate their employees.
And Phil Sheingold's in our chat room, one of our great buddies, and he says that he took his leadership team to the Disney Institute in 2013, said outstanding event and leadership events, not inexpensive, but great for new teams coming together, great presenters and guests. They were down there for 3 days and they took a team of 7. So I think, you know, that's what it is today. You know, we're kind of getting back to back in the, you know, 80s and 90s with this philosophy that you could go down there. And, you know, I was trying to think about this, like, was the time wrong? You know, because again, with time, it depends on where you are in your life. You know, like, you know, the time is, it shifts for where you are. Like, I'm 42 now. I'm established as an educator. I've worked as a teacher for 17 years. I love podcasting. I love helping people plan Disney vacations. You know, I have this entrepreneurial spirit. I love being able to kind of look at the next challenge on the horizon, see what I can do with that, and give it everything I've got. And of course, with the podcast, one of the things that I've always been interested in is radio and television and broadcasting. And I could totally see going down for a week. Now, again, you'd have to have a different mindset. This isn't something like the whole family, I think, would want to do, because this is my passion, and my passion is different than my wife's. And my wife might want to sit by the pool because that's vacation. But for me, if I could get together with like a team of 10 and spend 3 or 4 days or a week staying, you know, kind of together as a team and developing a radio station, like a mock radio station, and learning from Disney, like, you know, and experts in the radio broadcasting field, like what goes behind programming a station? What are best practices for broadcasting on the radio? What do you have to keep your broadcast legal? Things like that. That'd be like, to me, that's like a kid in the candy store. So I'm kind of sad that I missed out on opportunities like this. And Pam, I'm kind of going to throw this to you, but like, you know, say you're a foodie or somebody who shows talent as an animator, you know, you're somebody who really enjoys drawing, but kind of want to take that to the next level. I mean, this could really be a cool vacation.
It could be, but I think, you know, some of the things that you mentioned that are great about it are also some of the things that really caused it to fail as a concept for them. I mean, Disney already was known for something. It had something that it was famous for. It had, you know, its personality, if you will. It really was defined as entertainment. And while they throw in some edutainment in there too in the parks, it basically is formed and something that we all know as a vacation destination. So when you're talking about adding something like a real intensive, or even if it's not super intensive, but a program where you would incorporate a learning program with the vacation experience, people already thought about bringing their families there. For them, Disney was a place that was family fun, and family education maybe may be a harder sell. I mean, you know, can you imagine talking to your 13 to 17 year old about going to Disney and experiencing this, where they would do, you know, educational experiences and would not be going into the parks throughout most of the day, would only have some spare time in the evening, et cetera, which is really how it was. In order to maximize what you were paying to experience that price, you would have to take advantage of those opportunities. And that's kind of a hard sell for your family. Although I think that it really does, you know, have its benefits especially for people who go to Disney as it is more than once a year. I think for most people who don't go to Disney that often, the thought of, okay, we're not going to go into the parks the majority of the time is the thing that kind of scared them about that. And even though it was a great opportunity, I think that might be something that really caused it to fail.
Well, that's a good point, because this would definitely be something that's geared towards the person who has seen Walt Disney World as a vacation destination. You know, you've ridden all the rides, you've been to the restaurants, you've seen the shows. This is something you would do on subsequent trips. But I kind of disagree. I mean, you say like 13 to 17 year olds wouldn't like this, but I think, you know, again, my perspective is slightly different. I teach gifted education students, and they tend to have different mindsets than, you know, your typical population of students, in that one of the traits of a gifted student is typically they'll have something that they're very interested in, like almost obsessed with, you know, like if they're a second grader, they're into dinosaurs. And I mean, they're not just into dinosaurs. They know every kind of dinosaur by heart. They know where the digs are, you know, in the, you know, upper plains, you know, up in the Dakotas. They know all the digs that, you know, the famous archaeologists, they know when they happened. And if you had an opportunity for like a, you know, a 12-year-old kid to go down and have an opportunity to learn, you know, kind of hands-on, to do like a mock dig, to hear from real archaeologists, to, you know, take some classes. You know, I think this, again, it would have to be, I see this more as a marketing issue than actually the execution of the vacation, because if you could market this to the right people, you can get a premium for this because, again, I worked as a counselor at Space Camp, and that's exactly what this was. You went there for 7 days. It was intense. I mean, the day started at 6:30 in the morning. They got over at 10:30 at night. In that whole time, even though I was a counselor, I went through the program for 1 week, but I taught it for the next 2 summers. And, you know, you were always in a class doing a mock mission, practicing for a mission, doing simulations, you know, even talking about it with like-minded folks at dinner and at lunch in the cafeteria. You were always in a flight suit. You know, I mean, you were immersed to the highest level. But for somebody that was a space nut that always wanted to be an astronaut, I mean, you couldn't wipe the smile off my face even as an instructor for those 2 summers because you just don't get that anywhere else. You know, and I think Disney as a company can take you places you never go in the, you know, in your regular life. You know, I feel bad that I missed out on something like this. I don't know. Ricky,
it was just like limited in terms of the subjects that they would talk about. Like at the Disney Institute, I think there were only like maybe 6 or 7 subjects that you could choose from to like have that go with your vacation experience. So it was like they probably wouldn't have one on dinosaurs. You know what I mean? That would really appeal to someone. They only had, I can't remember. I remember seeing it at some point. Oh, there they are. So animation, culinary, gardening, the great outdoors, photography, television, and youth. So they had those categories of them. So that, I think that was the point. Like, that it would be hard to meet everyone's, I don't know, the thing that they were really interested in participating in. But I don't know. Ricky, what do you think?
No, I think that that's exactly right. And that's why I think that it did kind of fail because, you know, like kind of like Mike was saying, not everybody in a family would maybe be interested in one or more of those things that were offered at the Disney Institute. So I think for a family, it is absolutely a hard sell. And then of course it's going to be a hard sell to say, hey, can I spend, you know, $3,000 to go on vacation by myself to learn about this stuff? You know, like I think that that's a very hard sell for you to do as a family, you know, hey, I'm going off by myself, see you later. And you know, whatever, which again is why I think it tends to gear more towards businesses at this point, and why I think it works better. You know, I just think about, you know, things like the, you know, the social media marketing events that take place, you know, yearly. And, you know, yeah, that appeals to me. I would absolutely want to go to that. But, you know, it's not something that I could get Brian to go on vacation with me to go do. Like I couldn't be like, Brian, guess what we're gonna go do? We're gonna go on a social media marketing conference. How'd you like that? Like it wouldn't fly, you know? So I think that that's probably what part of the downfall of the Disney Institute was. It's not that it's not a cool idea. Don't get me wrong. I think that, you know, it's a very cool idea. But I just think that it's a very hard sell to get people to, especially with, as Pam mentioned, kind of the limited amount of things that were offered for guests to experience. It's a hard sell to say, hey, let's spend this kind of money to go do this versus let's go on vacation and relax and enjoy ourselves. So,
well, and I think too, and maybe you guys remember this, but I remember it being like in some of the marketing pieces that they were making a point to differentiate themselves from the Disney experience. In other words, you weren't going there to learn about Disney. And I think if it ever had a chance to succeed, I think one of the things that they underestimated was the power of their brand.
How much people would want to learn about Disney.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes. Like that is what they just didn't grasp, that people who go to Disney and who are fans of Disney would like to learn about. So Mike, like how you went to Space Camp, you know, this is something that Disney is known for, is being Disney. And that's what people would want to go to Disney to learn. Not in particular to go and learn about the great outdoors at Disney. I mean, and I see how like some of it would have worked, like the animation and even like the gardening. I can see some of that, you know, working well because Disney does do those things very well. But I think that that's just the thing they underestimated. Like people who are at Disney want to know about Disney. So
that's a good point. It sounds like that's something that they have kind of, you know, evolved over the years to take advantage of with the, you know, really catering, like Phil said, to businesses and bringing it in more focus to what Disney is about and taking care of their brand. Because, again, when you market to businesses, first of all, you're marketing to a whole different audience. You know, businesses are looking for professional development opportunities for their employees to improve their, you know, their services they're offering to their guests. And where, you know, it's not a hard sell to get your employees to go down to Disney for, you know, maybe for 5 nights to a week to be able to, you know, learn under one of the biggest, you know, best brands in the world. And also, you know, you're going to have a good time down at Walt Disney World. So, I mean, Pam, do you think that this has evolved into something better over the years, that they, you know, again, it's not a resort destination like it really was back 20 years ago, but is it something that, you know, they made a good choice on this?
I mean, I know that the things that I've been fortunate enough to take with their program have been, of course, really well done, but it taught us about how we can implement the things that Disney does so well within our own organization. And I think that those are things that most people, at least business-wise, can benefit from. I mean, those aren't limited to one industry. In fact, I just read something about how, you know, some Disney techniques were being implemented in healthcare, in a lot of healthcare companies. And I thought that was interesting. But, you know, everyone who I've come in contact with who has worked for Disney in a leadership position really does have a passion about some certain things. And sharing is something that they all seem to do very well, even from their own personal life, you know, learning those things. I don't know if any of you listen to Lee Cockrell's podcast, but he used to be a Disney executive, a park executive, and has since retired. But he just put out a podcast recently about the fact that he has anxiety and the fact that he's struggling with this. And he was very open and honest and went into great detail. And I just thought, you know, I had been fortunate enough to see him speak and meet him. And it just really struck me, because it is very rare, I think, in the business community, at least in my experience, to find people that have that level of success and are willing to show their vulnerability, especially in their personal space and in their personal life, and share it with people and talk about it so honestly and openly. And I have found this to be a trait that many Disney executives aren't afraid to do. And I think it has something to do with the climate that they're creating there. You know, I just think it's in some ways Disney is still very unique, despite how you know, someone may feel about the changes that they've made as a company. There's still something very unique about the climate that Disney's creating, and I think many businesses can embrace that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because you know, that's one thing I've always wondered about, is Disney really lucky in that they recruit people that do seem very passionate about what they do? Because there's a passion with most Disney executives. You know, they're excited about growing the company, making, you know, coming up with better ideas to make the experience better. Or is it the environment that breeds people to see that in themselves? You know, it's kind of one of those like chicken and the egg kind of situations. You know, did they get the good people, or is their program so sweet that it kind of develops people into those type of leaders?
It's got to be a combination of both, right? I mean, you know, one breeds the other, so.
All right, well, we're going to wrap this up here in just a second, but, you know, kind of last question here. Ricky, I'm going to throw this one out to you, and then I'll give it to Pam, and we'll let everybody get on with their weekend. But, you know, is there a place in today's Walt Disney World to have something like the Disney Institute Resort was back in the 80s? You know, is there a chance that you could, you know, make this maybe on a smaller scale, find some place? Because it sounds like, I mean, to me, you know, of course, this didn't hit a sweet spot. They weren't obviously making enough revenue from it. It wasn't catering to as many people as they needed. And, you know, DVC was really catching on. They needed the land for Saratoga Springs. You know, it's in a prime location next to downtown Disney Springs nowadays. So this was the obvious thing to take away. But I mean, is there a way that they could bring back something like this where people could, you know, go and explore things and not vacation like your typical Walt Disney World entertainment vacation? Ricky, could this work today?
I'm gonna be honest. I don't think it could. I think that they are way too focused on promoting all their franchises that they have. So this is not even something that I think that they would ever consider right now as an option for not just for businesses, but open for everyone like that. As a individual resort, I don't see them doing anything close to this. I think that, you know, it was more of a it spoke more of a Michael Eisner idea behind it. You know, everything that I've kind of read about him and learned about him, this was kind of right in his wheelhouse of something that he was interested in doing. And it makes sense for why it was something that they tried. But as for, you know, who's in charge now, you know, with Bob Iger and, you know, everything else that they're doing, I don't see anything like this even coming close to something that they would consider for the Walt Disney World. Most definitely not. And, you know, the only way I could see it is if it was like an on the road thing. That's the only way I could see it working. And not as, again, not as an on the road resort type thing, just an on the road conference type thing. You know, kind of like they have their social media moms event, you know, something similar to that, you know, with the, you know, Disney Institute event where they go around and you know, do these type of seminars. But I absolutely don't see it working as a standalone resort at all.
All right, so. Pam, final thoughts. Could it work today?
So here's the way I think it could work. You know how Disney has really been so incredibly successful at having these special events, these limited time events. I think if they did something in conjunction with some of the things that they already have that are successful, for instance, they had a very limited week-long program that you had to buy into during Flower and Garden. And in addition to getting to attend some special events during the Flower and Garden Festival, there would be an educational component to it where you would take a deep dive into topics that would be relevant to those who were really appreciative of the Flower and Garden subject. They could do this at Food and Wine. They could even take it and do it, you know, at the holidays. They could expand this into different areas, I think, after they tested it at these certain, you know, at certain times. I don't think it's something that they would be smart to roll out all at once. And I don't think it's even something that would be a good idea to offer all year round. But I think that they could be successful with it if they did something like that.
Good points. And it's kind of fun to look back on, you know, the history of Walt Disney World, because there's so many things that, like, we go past. Like, you know, you're taking the boat from Riverside to, you know, Disney Springs, and you don't realize, like, you're floating through history there. You know, that just total whole area has changed over the years. You know, you have the Treehouse Villas there, which are really the only things left from this. But, you know, I'm one of those people that always wonders, you know, what if? I would have loved to kind of had a fantasy, like, radio camp. You know, because, like, I just, again, it gets back to space camp. It was awesome because, you know, it wasn't the real world for a week, but you got to pretend like you're an astronaut and walk around in a flight suit and do missions. I mean, I would love to be a radio DJ for a week and, you know, learn something. But again, I think the problem was, A, they needed the land for Saratoga Springs, and this was something that is very niche. You know, it's not going to appeal to 90% of the vacationers, which, you know, unfortunately Disney wants everything to appeal to everybody, I guess. You think?
Yeah, I think that is part of the problem too. They want such broad appeal that it's hard to really take a deep dive into, you know, into anything. But I think if they did it in conjunction with some things that were already successful for them, they could do it.
I agree. All right, well, that's going to put a wrap on today's show. So we appreciate you tuning in and downloading the podcast. Thanks so much for that. And we'll continue this on Sunday night on the live show. So if you actually went to Disney Institute, stayed there and had experiences there, call in, let us know what you think, because, you know, I'm very curious about this because, again, you know, it's one of those things I missed out on, but I'd love to hear your opinions. We have thousands of listeners. I'm sure lots of people had great experiences there. And I'd love to hear, you know, did you do gardening? Did you do animation? Did you do the television program? I think it'd be so fun. So let us know this Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, new location, brguestpodcast.com/live for the live show. So join us and give us a call this Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, brguestpodcast.com/live. All right, today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. And right now is a great time to go on vacation down to Walt Disney World this spring or summer, because they're great specials. You can save lots of money, get some, you know, even get a free quick service meal per person per night at select value resorts for the summer. And I can tell you what, you know, I've helped a lot of people plan vacations for the spring, and there's a nice offer out there right now that can save you money on your resort stay and get you a free day of tickets if you have enough nights or days there on your package. It's just a great way to see Walt Disney World with, you know, paying less money, and that's what it's all about. You're always going to get concierge level service with the great folks over at the Magic for Less, and it costs you exactly the same as booking directly through Disney. So I'm going to ask you to do this weekend. Drop by themagicforless.com today. Click on the specials tab. You'll see everything that's going on. You'll also see the specials you get just for working with a great agent over at the Magic for Less. And then while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form, and you'll hear back from an agent right away, and you'll be planning that next Disney vacation. It's going to be a lot of fun. So check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management, and even though his offices are located in Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, Indiana, he works with clients across the nation. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprizeadvisors.com/drew.baker. Hey, check out Magical Mouse Radio in between shows. We sound great on the weekends. We're over at magicalmouseradio.com, adding more tracks to the new platform each and every day. So check it out. If there's something you want to hear, just let us know. But check it out today. Put the soundtrack of your life on right there, magicalmouseradio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast, Instagram at Be Our Guest Mike, and of course, Snapchat. Give me a follow. Be Our Guest Mike on there as well. It gets a little crazy because like I can wiggle my eyebrows and like horns will pop out of my head. It's nuts. If you've never been on Snapchat, you need to give it a shot. All right. Also, what else are we missing? We got our forums, beourguestpodcast.com/forums, where we talk Disney all day, every day. And hey, if you don't mind, give us a rating and review over on iTunes. We appreciate that so much because it helps new folks discover the show. All right, time to get out of here until we get back together on Sunday night for the live show. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.